Sunday is a very strange day because it's not as consistent, it's not as unified as other days. Good Friday is all about the passion. It's all about those 3 hours that Jesus suffered. It's all about from when he faced Pilate to when he died. Maundy Thursday is about the Last Supper to his betrayal in the garden. Easter is all about that Sunday morning when they find the tomb empty. Palm Sunday is this strange combination of two different events. See, technically, it's Passion Sunday and Palm Sunday, kind of rolled into one. Which means that after we do this incredibly triumphant, very happy, all exultant and jubilant thing where we walk into the church waving palms and saying, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, woot woot, here comes our King. Then all of a sudden we do this massive switch and we're like, crucify him! Which is completely, total change of tone. I mean, Palm Sunday, in that blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, that's like Easter. That's like, yay, Jesus, woot, here's the Messiah, yay! And then we're like, kill him! Give us Barabbas! We want the murderer! And that seems so totally inconsistent. I mean, in terms of like liturgical unity, it drives people nuts. I had somebody ask me about that this morning. They're like, you know, this doesn't really make any sense. It may not make any sense liturgically, but scripturally it makes perfect sense because that's exactly how the people behaved. One day, they're proclaiming him the Messiah. They're laying down their clothes so he doesn't get dirty coming into the street. They're laying down palm branches and they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! They're saying, he's the Messiah! He's finally come! And they're shouting and they're acclaiming and they're doing all these wonderful things to him, and they're following him to the temple. And just a few days later, they're shouting, crucify him. They're saying, we want the murderer. Give us the insurrectionist. Give us the rebel. Give us that guy who we know is a murderer. He's a terrorist. The kind of guy that Barabbas was a member of a rebel sect that would have gone into crowds where there were Roman guards keeping the peace, and he would have had a knife under his toga or his tunic, and he would have pulled out that knife and stabbed the guards and then tried to blend into the crowd and got away because they would have been in big groups of people. All right. This would have been, I mean, this is a terrorist. There's no way around it. And the people were like, give us the terrorist. And then Jesus sees them on his path to crucifixion and they're mourning and they're wailing and they're beating their breast. What? These are the same people who but a few hours ago, not just days, but a few hours ago, were going, crucify him, we want the terrorist. And then they see him dead, and they're going, oh, what have we done? Oh, what is with these people? What is with us? Mobs are a scary thing. there is something really frightening about a large group of people. They are very, very fickle. They can turn on a dime. I've had some experience with moms, and they scare me. I remember the first time I really got scared of a crowd. I wasn't scared for myself. I was scared for somebody else. I went to the landing on New Year's Eve. This had to be 20 years ago. I went with a very beautiful young woman. And I've never even heard at that point of time of somebody being assaulted as much as this girl did. She was groped and fondled and poked and prodded so many times that it was unimaginable to me. Now, this was in a setting, there were thousands of people there. Now, had there been 10 people walking on a street, nobody would have dared to do that. No one would have dared just walked up to some woman and just grabbed her butt or whatever other things these people did. I've also been at Mardi Gras. The things that people do on the streets, in the open public at Mardi Gras, are unimaginable. And I went during a time when they had the internet, and I still thought, good God, does no one think that this is going to end up on some internet Facebook chat forum sometime? Like, nobody's going to find out this at work the next day? You got to think that this is not the best thing to do. And they're just doing it right there out in front of everybody. What is with people? But it doesn't just affect, like, bad people. Mob mentalities are dangerous. There's like a wave that rushes over people. I remember being at a parade and being up on a curb, and there was a police barrier that was just in front of the curb. It was almost like this, and there was a police barrier here, and so there wasn't quite enough room for me to stand here. And there was a parade that was going by, and they were throwing stuff, and I was at a pretty good place to catch stuff. I'm like a 10-year-old child got in front of me and like pushed me out of the way and stood right in front of me. And the first thought that came through my mind was to drop an elbow on this kid's head. And I thought, for a second, I thought about it. And then I was like, I got to get out of here. And I left. I got up and I left. Because I realized this crowd was not okay. When you're thinking about dropping an elbow on a 10-year-old, you need to leave. This is an indication. Warning signs. This moment in the life of Christ, this week, the crowds turn over and over and over again. They go from hailing him as the Messiah, the Savior of the country, throwing their garments down and acclaiming him king, to rejecting him, calling for his blood, lying about him in courts that are kangaroo courts that have no legal standing to even be convened, to wailing and gnashing their teeth and saying, oh, what have we done, to crying over his dead body. The crowd turns and it turns and it turns. And these mobs are completely untrustworthy. And the terrible thing and the sad thing is we see these mobs gathering in our country today. They gather in different forums. They gather in different settings. But at one point they gather here and they say these things, which normal people by themselves in public would never say. Because decent people don't say these things. They profess things which people just don't say. And the Jews felt like they could do that because they'd been occupied for hundreds of years by these Roman oppressors. And now people think that they've got this reason for saying, oh, well, we have this, and so we're going to say these things, and we're going to do these things. And they use whatever reason they have to justify this behavior. And it's not just bad people or people from one avenue of life or another avenue of life. All throughout America, people are coalescing into groups of people who are forming into these mobs and doing dangerous things. As Christians, we have to recognize that we can't be guided by what we feel. We can't just say, you know what? I got to listen to my heart. Jeremiah heard something about that when he said, this is what the Lord says. The heart is deceitful above all other things. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all others. We need to be guided by Scripture. When those waves are crashing over everything else around us, when the waves are tossing and turning, we need to remember who calmed the storm. We need to be those rocks that aren't driven back and forth by the waves. We need to be mindful of what is good and true and righteous. And we need to say it doesn't matter what's been done to us now, what might be done to us in the future, what's been done to us in the past. We have a call on our lives. Jesus has set a standard for how we're to behave. And we need to follow that standard. And that standard is in effect regardless of how everyone else around us behaves. The whole world falls apart and all goes to hell. We're still called to behave in the same way regardless. We're still called to lead that rest of the world that's going to hell back to Christ with that ministry of reconciliation. And the further off the deep end they go, the further off the deep end, we're called to chase them and lead them back to Christ. Not becoming them, but maintaining our identity, maintaining our Christian character. Because if we look like them, if we behave like the world, then they have no reason to turn to us. We must be different. We must be like Christ. Because if we're like the world, then the world has no reason to turn to us when they're in despair, when they're in need, when they're out of hope. If we look like Christ, then when they're in despair, when they're in need, when they're out of hope, then they turn to Christ. And if we look like Christ instead of looking like the world, then they turn to us. And that's what we're called to do. We've got to be above the storm. We've got to stand above the fray. When the crowd turns, when the multitudes change, When they call out for blood, we've got to be above that. We have to know what God is calling us to do. What is good, what is true, what is beautiful, what is righteous. And we have to follow that. Because that's what God has called us to do. There were people there at the time who were saying, this isn't right. And their voices were drowned out. Don't think that everybody there just immediately shouted out, crucify him. Like 3,000 people all shouted out, crucify him all at the same time. There were a couple people who started out and others joined in. We've got to be those voices in the wilderness crying out. Because remember, multitudes went to John the Baptist too. Multitudes visited him. The crowds came to him too. We've got to be like that. We've got to draw the crowds to us. Not for the sake of our own ego, but for the sake of leading people to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.